Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Ben Coleman, president of Aerospace Management System Institute in Lakeland, Florida.
And good morning. Welcome back to the top of the FAA Production Studios. And I'm Ben Coleman, your host of Plane Time, and we're doing Plane Time from up on top of the FAA Production Studios building today. And the FAA Production Studios is a joint venture between the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA to produce educational and entertaining training information for the public and all you internet watchers out there. Remember, this is going to be on Managing Safety. It's an iPod app. It's really easy to get to, but we want you to get this information. There's over 100 shows on there now, and it's all dedicated strictly for aviation safety, and some pretty interesting folks and information on there. And speaking of information and interesting, we have a gentleman up here with us, Rob Holland.
How you doing, Rob? Good. Pleasure to be here.
Stand up, Rob.
Okay, I'll stand up all tall for you.
Rob is one of the airshow performers here, and Rob flies a pretty interesting little aircraft. Rob, tell us a little bit about the aircraft and how you got hooked up with flying in the airshow circuit.
Well, I fly the all-carbon fiber MX-2. It's built right here in the good old USA by IMX Aircraft Company in North Carolina. As far as getting...
Why don't we give them a plug?
Okay.
That's good. And the MX, what a nice aircraft.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's unbelievable. It allows me to do... If I can think of it, the airplane will probably do it. And as far as getting into air shows, when I was a kid, my dad brought me to an air show kind of like this one, and I just fell in love with what I saw and pursued it and had to do that someday. So all these years later, here I am.
And what course did you take to get where you are? I mean, if I was a, say, 10, 12-year-old young man or young woman, what would you recommend they do to just get involved and take, if they wanted to do what you're doing someday?
Honestly, focus and don't have a plan B. This was my goal. I went to an aviation college and got all my ratings. I built flight time. I got as much aerobatic experience as I could. I eventually started my own aerobatic flight school to teach people aerobatics and, you know, aviation safety. And through that, slowly started to get into competition aerobatics and air shows right around the same time, and just slowly built it up step by step over the years.
That's amazing. I hear in this ear, I'm listening to this one as well, but I hear a lot of passion behind your discussion here. Oh. Where did you gain that passion? Was it just when you saw an aircraft fly over the first time, or what? Where did you get the bug?
You know, it's interesting. I don't ever remember when I started to like airplanes. I just always have. But after that first air show, all the models I had in my room as a kid as airplanes were now hanging upside down from the ceiling. And I just thought it was absolutely fascinating seeing aerobatics and planes flying upside down. And I was just on a mission. I had to do that. So, yeah, the passion's been there, and it hasn't left yet. Well, very excited about it.
Well, and what I like about it is that I know that you interact an awful lot with the public, and that's all part of your air show business. You're a performer, mm-hmm. and to get those folks to really feel your enthusiasm and excitement, you've got to show it yourself. And that's the thing that I have noticed about you and your performance and everything about your team is it just shows excitement. And it's hard for somebody to just imagine not having that passion to do what you do, but there are those that just look at it as a job. Have you ever looked at your work as a job?
No, it's funny. I joke with people all the time that this really beats working for a living. I mean, it's a job. There's a lot of hard work. It was a lot of hard work to get here, but I've loved it every step in the way. And the, you know, the ultimate goal and the mission to give across is whatever you want to do, whatever your passion is, you just got to pursue it 100%. Whether it's aviation or anything else, just go for it.
And did you ever have any conflicts or times that you just thought that there's not enough help out there for me, or just I'm going to throw my hands up and just be done with it?
No, like I said, there was no plan B, so I didn't have another option. And you know, one thing I found along the way is if you're really passionate about something, there's always people there willing to give you a hand and help you out. And I had a lot of help along the way. I can't claim I did this 100% by myself. You know, I had 100% of the passion and the drive. But there's a lot of good people that gave me opportunities along the way because they saw that passion and drive. And that's out there for everybody. You got to have a passion for it.
Well, you just stole my next line, because I'm going to tell you there's a group of people, I'm sure, behind you that give you that support, because it's not easy what you do. And I'm glad to see that you take good care of yourself, and you got some pretty good meat hooks there, because does it take much physical strength to do what you do in your routine?
It takes a little bit of physical conditioning, just getting used to the G's, and you know, it's a workout in the airplane. It's tiring. It's pretty abusive to the body. But you start off early in the year, stop practicing, build up tolerance before the season starts, and you just maintain it through.
G loading. Talk to me a little bit about G loading and what your routine experiences as far as flow.
My routine is typically 10 and a half positive G's and 6 to 7 negative G's.
Oh, ouch. Ouch. That's the only thing that comes to mind is ouch. Because in some of my little routines that I would do, 4 G's, 5 is about my limit. I cannot only imagine what it would be like to pull that many G's.
Well, you know, you get used to it. And a lot of it is just having the confidence in the airplane. It's a very strong airplane that I fly. It allows me to, you know, at 12 G's, I'm not touching the limits of the airplane. So it's pretty amazing, actually.
When is your next performance, or have you given your performance and you're not flying today? Or
no, I've already flown twice, and I'm possibly flying this afternoon. Not quite sure yet. I might be filling in for someone who couldn't make it, so I'll find out the brief here in about an hour.
I noticed that disappointing look on your face. Oh, I might have to fly this afternoon. Oh, God.
No, I'm always looking forward to fly. You know, this air show stuff, it's a lot of work for that 12 minutes of fun in the box, and it is 12 minutes of pure fun.
Well, Rob, not to put you on any pressure, and for the millions that are watching this on their internet connection, their live streaming from all over, any thoughts for anyone in Australia?
Australia?
Yeah. Have you been to Australia to do air shows yet?
I've not, but I'd love to come down.
Oh.
I got quite a few friends in Australia, so I'd love to be down there.
I see an opportunity for an Australian air show, and Rob, just talk to your sponsors and explain to them that, you know, aviation, it's a worldwide industry, not just
absolutely.
The U.S. And we just are very fortunate with the freedoms that we have here to do this, but we can take these freedoms in little pods and little modules and spread it all over the world. And
absolutely. Actually, the show I did right before this was down in the Dominican Republic.
Excellent.
And they obviously don't get air shows too often down there. It has to be the most passionate crowd I've ever flown in front of. It was really eye-opening to be there and fly for them and see the reaction. It was really cool.
Well, let's do this again, and I hope to talk to you somewhere else in the world someday.
Yeah, definitely.
Rob, thank you so much
thank
for joining
you.
Us up
Pleasure.
Here. And from the rooftop of the FAA Production Studios, I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in to watch Rob Holland. And we're going to roll right into another very, very important guest up here that come all the way from...
Australia.
Australia, as a matter of fact. What a segue. Randy Ewan?
Jewin.
Jewin. Jewin too?
Yeah.
that was purposely. But Randy, tell us a little bit about who you're here representing, what you do, and what makes you excited about your job.
Oh, I'm very excited to be here. I work for formerly known as Gibson Aeronautics. Recently had some investment capital put in by Mahindra Aerospace, which has given the company the opportunity to launch two brand new airplanes in development, plus putting together a national sales and marketing campaign for the entire world.
Didn't you want to go for the universe? Why just stop at the world? I mean, because I'm sure that Gips Aero might be able to get a plug in for the aerospace industry. You might be able to take a GA-8 up into outer space someday.
You know, the problem there is it's a high lift wing, and there's just not enough air in the atmosphere up there.
Well, tell us a little bit about the aircraft, and I've got to admit I'm not going to be coy about this. I have walked by and taken a look at the GA-8 that you have here on the static display. What a tremendous little aircraft. I mean, it's little, but it's huge when you look at the room and the creature comforts. But tell us a little bit more about some of the technical aspects of what makes that aircraft so special.
Well, what makes it so special is the founders of the company really put a lot of thought into design of the aircraft. The two founders, one is Peter Furlong. He was probably the only naturally born aerospace engineer I have ever met. At the age of 16, he designed, built, and flew his own airplane.
16.
Cool. He met up with a maintenance guru and pilot, a very cost-conscientious man named George Morgan, and the two of them put their brains together and came up with the GA-8 design. It features not only a high-lift wing, but the fuselage is almost a flying wing, and there's an extra passenger of lift just in the front windshield and the cabin section of the aircraft.
Just by the aerodynamic shape of the fuselage.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
The aircraft is very low cost, easy to maintain. It's made for the bush country. So obviously if you're out there in the jungle and you have a mechanical problem, you want to be able to fix it in the field. So everything is very easy, it's accessible, and very, very rugged.
Yeah, from a maintenance standpoint, and you know I'm a mechanic, and I always wanted to get a hold of some of the engineers that hid some of these components that you have to get to every now and then. Change an oil filter on and I am a Piper guy, by the way, but some of the Piper guys took a TSIO 540 on the top of Turbo Lance to change the oil filter, you almost have to pull the engine. So on your aircraft, and I know you're flying with the Lycoming power plant,
yes,
as well, I did not get a chance to take a look under the cowling, but what would I find if I did, Randy?
You would find plenty of room to simply reach in with your hand and spin it off.
That's not fair. And how about the flight handling characteristics of the aircraft? If it's easy to maintain, it's got to be tough to fly.
I tell you, I was absolutely shocked. When we came up with the turbo version last year, I had a chance to go to the factory and fly with our test pilot. And we went for the unofficial demo ride and went out and did some stall characteristics. And, you know, being new to the airplane, when he asked me to put the aircraft into a stall, I put it back. You know, the warning horn goes off, you put it down, no big deal. Well, I was with a very seasoned guy. He's got 30 years of flying in the industry and is a key developer in the aircraft design. And he says, no, we're going to really stall this. He takes the yoke, puts it back into my chest, and we sat there and danced on the rudder for 30 seconds. And I couldn't believe an airplane that big.
Didn't break, didn't fall off.
And didn't even hint of breaking. And the second maneuver he did, he says, let's go out and do turns around a point. And obviously when you do that, you look down, you're thinking it's going to be some kind of angle. We were able to put that airplane practically on its side, and I looked straight down for two consecutive turns. The only airplane that I've flown close to that was a Super Cub. So you have this great cargo carrying capacity, utility. You can use it for cargo. You can use it for people. You can use it out in the bush. Works great in asphalt landing strips as well. But it handles like a Super Cub.
All right, Randy. I've had it with all the all the virtues of the aircraft. It's got to be a land lover. I mean, something that big to haul that much cargo, it's got to be a land lover. How much runway does it eat up?
Well, if you're short on runway space, it'll take off in 800 feet. It'll land in 500, and with a 50-foot obstacle, you're looking at 1,600 feet plus or minus on each side.
Don't you mean 5,600 feet?
Nope, not 56.
Okay, so we have a stall aircraft, basically, short takeoff and landing.
Absolutely.
That'll haul a reasonable load. And what are we talking about, payload?
Payload in Australia right now is 4,200 pounds. We're at 4,000 in the U.S. pending FAA approval up to 4,200.
For gross weight. And how much of that, how many bodies, hair, teeth, eyeballs, fuel, can you load on to it with full fuel, let's put it
with
to you
that fuel, way. This is one of the few airplanes you'll find on the field here today that is actually the full seats plus full fuel with standard passengers.
That's just not fair. And this is Australian-built.
Australian-built.
Australian design.
Absolutely.
Those Aussies, you know, and I got to hand it to you. I was telling you earlier, I've spent a lot of time down in Australia, and you just don't know how hearty and gung-ho people are. And it's a beautiful, big country. And when I was over there was like 14 million people, and it was 14 million people in New York City. So we have a country the size of ours in the U.S. with the population of one major city in the U.S. There's a lot of outback country out there. And that's where the term, I guess, outback would come from.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they are very, very passionate. It's like you said, most of the population is on the coast. And flying into the backcountry is very similar to us flying in the backwoods of Oregon or Alaska or Canada. The flying there is very similar to here as far as the openness of the regulatory governing agency mm-hmm. down there. Mm-hmm. And we're very fortunate in the U.S. and in Australia to have the flexibility to just hop in our airplane on a nice day like this and take off and go enjoy flying.
Randy, it seems to me that you have a hard time being disappointed to get up and go to work in the morning. I mean, where do we get that drive? Because I've never worked in aviation a day in my life. It's a hobby that I just happen to fortunately find a paycheck somehow.
Absolutely, absolutely. The general aviation is not a job. There's a lot of excitement. The people are great, and you get to come out to events like this and sun and fun. You know, what else could a guy ask for?
Well, and I tell you, there's a lot of gals. I just met last night at a presentation, a 20-year-old young lady that has her A&P, and she just got her private pilot's license, and she's working actually with the, can I say this, Cheryl? Yeah, Polyfiber, with the Polyfiber group. And just a delightful young lady. And I just was amazed that she was felt the passion that you and I did and got involved, and just, she's still involved. And she shared with me one of the aspects of what got her involved was the people. She enjoys the people in this industry. And can you talk any to the people in the industry and where you came from?
Yeah. Myself is, I grew up as a little bit of a video game kid, started off flying flight simulators and always dreamed of being in aviation. And a number of years ago, as a consultant, I was tied in with a float manufacturer, and that turned into a 5 to 6 year career and brought me into this industry a little bit deeper onto the airplane manufacturing side. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's been a roller coaster ride. It's been a day at the amusement park every day. And my words out to the young people that are out there, if you're enjoying video games and you think flying's fun there, get out and hop in an airplane, because that takes that thrill level to the next level. And it's a passion you'll never shake off for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and for the parents out there, if I may be so bold, take your kids to an airport, and even if you can't get on the airport property, hang on the fence and just watch and start critiquing some of the landings that you see there. And that's how you start learning about aviation. And if you get a chance to go up to the FBO, I'm sure there's a broom handle that'll fit your hand, and there's always something that needs to be swept up around a hangar.
Absolutely.
That's how I really got my start, and just it's never stopped, and it still doesn't stop. I still catch myself going for a broom if I'm standing around an airport somewhere.
Yeah, my kids are very excited as well. I call them my interns, and every day they're asking me about how the show was, new things we saw, and it's quite a big trip. School year is in session right now, so I couldn't bring them down, but they're very excited about going to Oshkosh this year, and the airplane industry is fun, it's exciting, and as you said, the people are just great. The with Sun and Fun, we had a little extra fun and excitement earlier in this week. And after the storm, we had some of our people who stopped by, visited the airplane earlier. They came by and checked in and said, hey, are you doing okay? You need any help? And the camaraderie that we saw after the storm here is just typical of what you find in general aviation. Good people, generally caring, and very exciting and very passionate about airplanes.
And Randy, just for the benefit of the folks watching this on their computer monitor, the smell of kerosene in the morning.
Absolutely.
Cessna Citation just taxied out. And is there any kerosene in the future for maybe Gips Aero in the GA8?
Absolutely. We're actually stretching the GA8 into a GA10, and it'll be a turbinized version that'll fly this fall for the very first time. Looking at certification about 2 years out.
That's 2 years, really isn't that long.
No, it isn't. And you can have a healthy respect for this as safety. You know, we want to make sure, even though the airplane will fly, we're going to run it through years of testing, literally millions of dollars of flight test and design. And at the end of the day, the Gips Aero wants to have the safest airplanes on the planet.
You beat me to the punch, because I was going to get into you about aviation safety and what your philosophy is of it, but you already answered it. So, I got to come up with another question. No, there's never any... we could talk, for days, literally, on this, and I'd actually like to go up and take a hop. Is there some place that people could actually see a hop on the aircraft? I'm sure that it's on Flight Sim. It's at one of the programs on Flight Simulator.
Yes.
Where would someone go if they wanted to learn more, other than the website, and to touch and feel and taste the aircraft?
Well, right now, we have just launched at Sun and Fun a national press release about setting up 20 dealers within the Northern North America territory. And right now, I'm the main contact for that. It can be reached via the website or via the phone number. My cell is 651-253-8136. And we're happy to schedule a demo. I think it's absolutely a fun airplane to fly. It's got great use for multiple uses for operators and private individuals. And like I said, one of the safest airplanes you'll ever fly.
Well, and speed-wise, are we going to get anywhere? There's got to be a downside to this. I mean, 80 knots, 90 knots?
Well, the airplane will cruise, top green line is 140 knots. That all depends on how much gas you want to put into her. She's the challenges you have is the high lift wing. gives you great cruise and great maneuverability, but there's a small speed sacrifice. It's not a rocket ship Mooney.
Well, but on the other side, if you're looking to build time, it's a great time builder.
Absolutely. And it doesn't take, being that simple to fly, it doesn't take a lot of flight training to get into an airplane of this size.
Okay, how about stability? I'm just talking with you now, flight handling characteristics. If you get yourself in trouble, what happens when you let go of the yoke?
When you let go of the yoke, it all comes back to center. In fact, this is one of the few airplanes out there that'll come out of a spin in a half a turn, hands off.
Now, Randy, you gave me your telephone number, and I know you're married, so you don't want all the girls to be calling you that one. But if they wanted a website to go to, where would they go to check out the what you have to offer? And I've been to that website, but it would be more
appropriate.
Absolutely.
www.gipsaero.com.
Oh, that's tricky. That's tricky. You
we can make a jingle out of that.
You could. You could. As a matter of fact, Aaron Tippin was supposed to, he was here on property not too a few days ago, and he's pretty good at making. Have you met Aaron?
No, I have not yet.
Oh, great guy, great guy. And you're talking about passionate. He and his dad, his whole family, and he's a mechanic. And actually, you know, speaking of, I'm going to segue back into a little bit. Chuck Yeager.
Yes,
you ever
sir.
Met Chuck?
I have not.
I tell you, he's a hard man. But the first thing that came out when I talked to Chuck Yeager was he said, "You know, Ben, I'm a mechanic too." I says, "No way," because I told him my background's aviation airworthiness inspector, and so, well, what got you involved with maintenance? He says, "Hell, I got involved with flying from maintenance. He was actually a mechanic back in the Army, Air Force, working on Beach D-18s, the C-45 version, and they asked people of who." They were looking for some test pilots, and they wanted to find someone that was good on structures and systems. And that's Chuck was the one that this was outstanding, knew everything about the beach and knew all the systems, knew how it worked, knew how to fix it, and that's why he was selected for the test pilot program. So actually, he was a mechanic before he was a pilot. So and you twisted wrenches a time or two, hadn't you?
Yeah, only from an experimental standpoint. I've got a plane in my garage that I'm building right now, and you know, I've done my share of bell cranks. I've pounded a couple of rivets, and it's really an interesting thing to understand how an airplane is put together. I have a lot of respect for the maintenance guys we have out there, keeping our airplanes safe, keeping them in the sky, and you very seldom hear, because of all the training and all the mechanics and the seriousness that they take in safety, of mechanical issues because of a guy didn't tighten a wrench or didn't put in some safety wire. It's incredible the safety record we have out there.
Well, the mechanics, and this is a plug for mechanics, they are the unsung heroes, the ones that are in the background. And usually it's the pilots that get all the glory when you come up, prop stops, or the turbine blades stop spinning. And it's them to get out and wave at the crowd. But it takes an awful lot of people to get them to that position. And our previous guest here, Rob, I'm sure that we did not get a chance to talk about his maintenance and support crew, but it takes an awful lot of support to keep aircraft flying. And I'm sure Gipsaero is aware of that, and they also have a good team behind you to give you support in the field to move the aircraft.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I've worked with some of the best mechanics, the best engineers, and some of the most knowledgeable industry experts that we have, and I feel very blessed that we have that knowledge pool there.
Well, we're going to try to get a lot of the young ones involved in it. And is Gipsaero involved with any youth education programs, or I don't know the way to put it, like little models of the GA-8? Or I haven't seen a model on the industry yet.
Yep.
For the GA, is there one there?
There we don't have one yet. The company is very involved in the humanitarian efforts. We had an aircraft just last year fly completely around the world, raising awareness of millions against malaria. And the platform for the airplane, we do a lot of missionary work with the airplane, and we're very conscientious about sharing with the community and sharing aviation with the community.
Well, just drop a little bug. I'll just share a little secret, just a little marketing trade. But if they were to come out with a GA-8 balsa wood model that could be fabric covered or tissue paper covered with a little either a rubber band propeller, or actually put a little electric engine. The electric motors these days in RCs are tremendous. Brian Terwilliger. Have you seen the movie 1/6 Right?
Yes.
Brian Terwilliger is the producer and the director on that film, and that's what got him started in aviation with the passion. And you talk about passion. If you've not seen 1/6 Right, that epitomizes passion right there.
Absolutely,
for aviation.
Absolutely.
But he got started. There's a companion TV to that called 1/6 Left, and 1/6 Left has him pictures of him flying his little model airplanes, and he's a little kid, you know, scrawny, scraggly. Sorry, Brian. You grew out of that, buddy, but it was a good way to get him started. And I look forward to flying an RC version of the GA-8, because if it flies that good in real life, it's got to be one heck of a model.
Absolutely. When we get that put together, I'll get you the first one, Ben.
Ooh, serial number one. Now I've got to get the gumption up to fly it, because it's been so long since I've flown them. But it's a lot of fun, and it's just. And again, the passion, Randy, we brought that up several days ago. Tell us a little bit about the passion.
Go up and take your first ride in a Beaver, take your first ride in a 172. But the true flying that is really inspirational. I flew in Alaska out in the bush with one of our customers, and it was Discovery Channel in real life. Get your first flight. That's the beginning of the passion. Go up and see the world from a different perspective. See it for like most people never see it. And it's one step at a time. Just keep your nose in it. Surround yourself with people who are in it, and you'll catch the bug. It's very contagious.
Randy, I can tell that you got a real bad case of it. And we're going to go ahead and go downstairs and see what's going on in the program. Thank you, Randy.
Yeah, thank you, Ben.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.